Yeah, except worse in every single way. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weave It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I'm sleepy.
I'm Jeff, and I'm Princess in the Demon Castle. If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to Love It or Weave It. Today is a little bit different because we're going to be covering the rest of the fall season in our runoff election of sorts. And so we're basically covering three shows that were the ones we were most interested in covering and then put a poll out to listeners on Twitter. And based on the results of that poll is going to dictate what percentage of the episode we devote to each of the shows. So we're going to be talking about Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai for 45% of the episode, Adachi and Shimomura for 27.3% of the episode, and Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle for also for 27.3% of the episode. But before we get into those, Annie, have you been watching or reading anything that is anime or basically anime lately?
No. And you knew this was coming, but no.
I knew this was coming. It's actually feels like it's only been a couple days since we last recorded. So
hasn't it only been a couple days?
I don't know. Time doesn't exist anymore. So
it's only been like 4 days.
Oh, God.
How have I had time?
I hunkered down. And because this is basically the last episode before we get into our last episode of the fall 2020 season before we get into our full reviews, I wanted to finally get around to watching anime that weren't in our normal format. So I watched a bunch of different premieres to get a taste of them. And the new Love Live show is okay. It's pretty good. The thing that I find most appealing about the new Love Live show is that it's set in Odaiba, and which is I mainly know because it was the setting of Digimon, and it's a fun thing to visit in Tokyo. But the thing I find most absurd is that the high school they go to is the Tokyo Big Sight Convention Center, which most people know because it's the it's where Comic-Con takes place. So it's like their high school is the giant convention center, and like even the interiors and everything, it's just like the giant convention center halls. And there's a moment where they're like trying to find the school idol club in this is all in episode one, right? And they're trying to find the school idol club, and it's like this giant, they're like, oh, let's go to the school building, or sorry, let's go to the club building and find among the clubs. And the club building is just like a giant convention hall with like hundreds of doors. And they're like, wow, there's so many clubs at this high school. And it's like, because it's a convention center. It's very silly, absurd. And I appreciate that they took the mantra of no men on screen so far that the life-size Gundam in Odaiba is also not visible, because that would be too much men. Although apparently, spoilers, apparently in like one of the latest episodes or later in the series, they do show the Gundam. So,
well, then why would I watch this show?
Anyway, it's I don't know. I might bring it up when we get into Adachi and Shimomura, because I found the girl-on-girl relationship in the first episode of Love Live more intriguing than that. But we'll get to that.
Wow, this is not the time.
Also, climbing girls. That's actually not the...
No.
It's like Iwa Kakeru sports climbing something. Anyway,
we're
it's
the girl... We're not talking about all these.
The girls that climb, it was not as tasteless as I assumed it would be, but it's still pretty tasteless. Like, and I've heard that later on, like I only watched episode one, and apparently later on, the main girl who like has no fat on her bones whatsoever is like made fun of for being chubby and stuff. And it's like,
what?
The thing I find really silly about it is that it really takes the idea that like bouldering and climbing is like solving a puzzle to such an extreme. The opening song has so much puzzle imagery. Like there's puzzle pieces all over, and it's like, okay, we get it. It's a puzzle. We get it. Also, the main character is like an expert climber the first time she does it because she's such a hardcore puzzle gamer because she plays like Candy Crush or Bejeweled.
Okay, well, like, none of that helps you with the physical strength to haul yourself up the side of something.
No, I actually asked my friend who's really into bouldering and anime to watch the first episode and get his impression. He was like, wow, she is just like the most amazing climber in the world, apparently. Talentless Nana, I was kind of intrigued about because the premise seemed like it was kind of like Assassination Classroom plus My Hero Academia plus Danganronpa, like plus Battle Royale a little bit. It's like a group of high schoolers abandoned on an island, but they all have superpowers. And it seems pretty clear early on that one of them is actually a secret enemy of humanity trying to murder them all. And there is a big twist at the end of the first episode, which if you don't want to hear spoiled, maybe you should skip ahead a couple minutes because I'm going to spoil it for Annie now. Basically, you follow this guy who is whose name is Nanao, who is talentless, it seems. And then it turns out that he's not the main character. The girl named Nana kills him because she's actually talentless because she's an imposter and is there to murder everyone. So it seems like it also, okay, also spoilers for Knives Out, I guess. It seems like the premise of the show is going to be a bit like that stretch of Knives Out where you know who the murderer is and you like want to watch them get away with it. That makes sense.
Is this just like a speed run of how many things you can spoil?
Wait, have you've seen Knives Out?
Yeah, I've seen Knives Out, but for other people.
Well, I didn't say who the murderer was.
God.
Well, anyway, but apparently it is, I am kind of intrigued by it. It seems like listening to the Anime Feminist podcast, they basically describe it as like, you know, like trashy suspense. And it's like, it seems like fun, trashy suspense. Not the best thing ever, but like kind of intriguing. And the last show that I watched a taste of was something that wasn't on my radar at all, but was suggested by one of our listeners at Corona Bono on Twitter. And it was By the Grace of Gods, which is a like lighthearted slice of life isekai series about a salaryman who is like basically overworked to death. He doesn't actually die from overwork, but he like is a salaryman who's like on the verge of dying from being overworked and then gets reborn into a little child tiny body in a fantasy world and like has all these slimes that he trains. And it seems like lighthearted and sweet. The thing that I find kind of gross is that it wasn't in the first episode at all, but it seems like there is a love interest that he gets introduced to who is also a young girl. But I'm like, but this is a like 40-year-old guy in the body of an 8-year-old or 11-year-old. So that's not, I'm not comfortable with that. And apparently I heard that they kind of like sexualize her a little bit in the animation. So
yikes.
But otherwise it seems really sweet and pure. But I don't know. It was kind of funny. Kind of a little bit too lighthearted and empty for my taste. But I mean, I like lighthearted and sweet and pure series, but they kind of need a little bit more substance for me to be intrigued.
Do you like those things? Because you suggested we watch Sleepy Princess.
We'll get to that. But I think of these four shows that I sampled, I'm definitely not going to keep watching Climbing Girls because it's a weird mix of like, if it actually portrayed the climbing realistically, it would not be interesting at all. It would be very boring and like dull, but it's so, the things that she's doing in episode one are so extreme that it's not realistic to climbers either. But I think you kind of need to have some decent interest in climbing or bouldering to find it intriguing. Or I don't know, like I'm just not that interested in it. So I'm not going to keep up with that. But Love Live, I'm a little intrigued by, and Talentless Nana, I'm a little intrigued by. So I'll probably keep watching this a little bit. But yeah, let's go into the meat of the episode. Ugh, we're going to cover these three shows for 30 minutes and divvy up those 30 minutes accordingly. So for 45% of the episode, let's get into Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, which is an anime. It's based on a manga from forever ago, from 1989 to 1996. There was an original anime production in 1991 that I guess both the manga and anime are pretty historically famous. And yeah, it's about, I guess that's from like early Dragon Quest era, but I don't know. I know nothing about Dragon Quest, the games, except that there are slimes. And that is true in this show too. This series is about a little kid, Dai, who wants to be a hero. He's on an island full of monsters and they're all his friends and they're cute. And it was very Hunter x Hunter adjacent.
Yeah, except worse in every single way. Oh my God, are you okay?
I'm going to pant for another 12 minutes.
I don't want that.
I was going to say that this is basically Hunter x Hunter, but if Gon were interesting and endearing, God.
This was the most boring thing I've ever seen.
And I just panted so much that I'm getting kind of dizzy.
Yeah, and you choked also.
What were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying that I hated this. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. You'll die.
You're making me like it. How? How did you hate this?
It just wasn't fun or interesting.
It was so fun. It was cute.
Definitely, it seemed like it was aimed at 3-year-olds for sure.
Well, if you add a zero on the end and you have me, I'm 30-year-old, but
it was definitely aimed at 3-year-olds because the stakes were so low. They're like, oh, we're going to fight the monsters. And like they would cut a monster and
They're his friends.
Yeah, but his friends didn't even die. It was like low stakes. They just got slightly injured and then one got kidnapped and nothing bad was even going to happen to him except he was kidnapped. And like the kid wasn't interesting. The whole show looked like garbage.
Okay,
you can't deny that it looked awful.
No, there were moments where there was bad CGI, like especially there's like this one sweeping shot where they're trying to like show you like this camera panning through the entire island, like flying through the forest and through all the different monsters and stuff, where it's like the, I don't know what it is about CGI models there, because there are more subtle moments where they're like doing 3D pans where the CGI actually blended well with animation, but when it's doing that big grand sweeping shot, it was just, it was not good. But like I was saying, like there are moments where it's much more subtle, where I think there is CGI that's kind of hard to even notice that it's switching to CGI from the 2D, and that was really great. I thought it was animated really well. It was really cute. It's really sweet.
How was it animated well? It looked bad the whole time.
The art style is very cute. It's very stylish. The monsters are cute. They have so much energy, and the show itself is lighthearted and fun. Dai is so sweet. Like, I'm just thinking about the premiere of Hunter x Hunter and Gon. Like, I know I have my quibbles with Hunter x Hunter, but like Gon's motivation, I just like find so vacuous. And like, I have issues with how much he's chasing after his father. And then like, it's never addressed how abandoning your child to go do other stuff is a bad thing.
Wait, but he's not chasing his father.
He is trying to become like his father, who he never acknowledges as being.
He's not at all trying to become like his father. He says he just wants to see why being a hunter is so cool, because if it was cool enough for his dad to just go do that, he's like, I want to see what that's about. He's not chasing after him. I don't think he has any desire to like become him. But he's just like, if I find him later, and that's what he was like kind of for. He's like, oh, did you hear about my dad? But he's not trying to be his dad.
But also like his motivation, I just never found that intriguing. And like, he's supposed to be all like,
well, what's Dai's motivation? Someone told him to do something and he's going to do it?
He wants to be the hero because he was told to.
Because
it seems like a cool thing. And it's okay, that like goal to become the hero maybe isn't the most like relatable thing, but his relationship with these monsters I found really relatable. And especially I guess I'm just a sucker for like characters that are, you would think of as being cast as evil or villainous or whatever, to like have the character who actually sees their humanity and is friends with them instead. And you know, it's still a little bit cliche because he's like basically has little tubes that he carries around like Pokeballs. Okay, maybe it's not that original to have him be friends with all these monsters, but it's still, and then it's like in this first episode, he's contrasted with this person who comes in who is cast as the hero who wants to just vanquish and defeat the monsters. And he's like, no, they're friendly and they're nice. And I appreciate that about the world. Like, it's an uplifting attitude to have.
So boring. It just, also, I don't like the art style. I don't like things that look old and bad.
It does have an old school aesthetic.
It just felt like I honestly had to double check that it was the right show because it felt so old.
I was like, why are you doing this to me?
It's not a good show. That's why nobody's talking about it.
It's so good and people are talking about it. I mean, what I've heard is that it is, like not the most exciting week to week. And I don't have, since from this first episode, I don't know if it's like, was this an explosive first episode that then it eventually becomes more dull than later on? Or is this basically, were people watching this kind of episode and saying it is dull? I don't know.
But I found agree this episode, with that, because it was pretty dull. Jeff, there's nothing good happened. It was so boring.
I'm gonna become the titular dragon and breathe fire on you.
That didn't even kill anybody. He just breathed fire on one dude and he passed out. So boring.
So I'm double checking this because like the old school aesthetic reminds me of, like, does it have the character designer, the Dragon Ball character designer?
That's what it felt like.
I can't really pause and look this up because we're on the clock. We have minutes.
Yeah, you should look
6 minutes to talk about it. This was number one in the fan vote. So, you know, they're right for a reason.
They wanted to hear us talk about how bad it is.
All the monsters are cute and fun. I like their relationship with the grandfather guy, the grandpa. I don't even know what he has, like, sludge thing. Yeah.
I have no connection to Dragon Quest characters because I've never played any Dragon Quest.
Never quested a dragon?
Never quested a dragon. So it was like, I was like, I know the slimes. I know them. And then I was like, that's fun. They're here. There's a king slime. That's nice. And then that was it. That was the only enjoyment I got out of it.
It had so much energy. It was so fun.
In what world was this a fun show? This is for 2-year-olds. I'm going younger now. This is for 2-year-olds.
Also, when the princess appeared and was just like spunky, and I don't remember what she said, but she was, oh, right. Like, he was,
she had one line.
She had one line that like disappointed Dai, and he was like, she like made fun of him or something. Or she was like, I expected an actual hero, like this crappy kid. I love her.
She just said, like, you're so small. How undependable. It was like,
I thought you would relate to her in that moment.
No, because I didn't like her art style.
Okay, definitely, yeah. Their art style is definitely a little hard to get past, but it's animated so well and so fresh.
Is it?
And so
it was. It didn't seem well animated to me. But
you're wrong. I agree.
Like, everyone just looked so ugly. I'm also like, I couldn't tell if like my computer wasn't loading it or if it was just like so like not HD. It looked ancient, and I thought I was like, something was wrong with my computer. But
okay, maybe something was wrong with the computer because it looks beautiful.
No, it doesn't. I reloaded it. I tried it on the other computer, and it still looks like shit.
Well, I also had the perspective of, I've been curious about the production quality of this show since it's another Toei Animation production, and I look at every Toei show with the from that the lens sense. Of like, is this better or worse than Digimon? And if it is better, why does this show get the quality, not Digimon? And I thought this like blew Digimon's production quality like completely out of the water. Even the first couple episodes of the new Digimon show that were really impressive for the animation quality, this felt like leaps and bounds above. But I do like, I understand the, as much as I think the monsters are really cute and stuff, like they have that very distinctive Dragon Quest aesthetic, which is one of the reasons why I never was interested in the games, because I don't like this aesthetic. So I see your point there.
How did you enjoy this show? The whole show is in this aesthetic.
Because it was so fun and lighthearted, and I love Dai. The princess seems like a fun character.
Her one line. You know who was a fun character? That lady on the boat.
The evil lady, yeah, okay.
She was the only character who was cool, because she was smart. She's the only one with any brains or sense in this damn show. But yeah, everybody looked bad. The monsters were ugly.
So anyway, if you want to be the new co-host of Love It or Weave It, let us know on Twitter.
Sorry,
because I'm kicking
wrong.
Annie off the show.
You're wrong.
The biggest unknown to me is like what the show is like week to week, because this episode definitely felt like a one-off, especially given seeing how different the first couple episodes of the new Digimon Toei show are compared to the rest of the episodes. Like, I'm like, what is this, an explosive first episode, or is this par for the course? But I would definitely recommend this. I love it. I'm gonna double love it.
I will weeb it. You know what, I'm thinking about it, and it reminded me of those bad in-game cutscenes when like when you have a cutscene and it's like displaying all the monsters and it just looks super bad, and then you just have to start playing. That's what it reminded me of.
I think we should have a double love it, or double, like, each one of us should get the ability to.
No, you can't try to change the rules because you like something and you're wrong about it. I'm sorry.
No, we each season we each get one veto, but I would use it here to double love this show, and then you would use it to double weeb it, and it would cancel each other out.
I wouldn't waste my double weeb on this garbage.
Was there anything this season that I actually loved that you didn't? Oh, Hypnosis Mike, yeah. That was good.
That was good.
It was so good.
No.
I'm listening to that recently because I edited it and put it out recently, and it's so good.
It's not. I'm so sorry.
I will admit that the CGI in some of those big grand sweeping shots is really atrocious and was just kind of embarrassing. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I cannot see how anyone involved in this production was happy with putting that out, but I guess they had to, so.
Yeah. It just, that honestly, like, ruins it for me. I mean, I didn't like it in the first place, but after seeing that, I was like, should I even pay attention? Should I just go watch some TikToks? Like,
so you didn't even watch the show. Okay, so your opinion's invalid. Okay, we can throw that out.
I watched it. I didn't want to, but I watched it. It was a waste of my time. I wouldn't say it's the worst show I watched this season, but it's up there.
You have 3 more seconds to disappoint me, Annie.
It was bad. I'm weaving it.
All right. So the next show. Okay. So that was. I was excited for how much time we had on the clock to talk about that amazing good show. And then you just. I was like, this is too much time to be disappointed and frustrated with Annie. But this next show, we were talking about Adachi and Shimamura for 8 minutes and starting now.
Okay. Did we give like a summary of the other one before we started?
Yes, I did. And then you just like crushed my hopes and ground them to.
It was bad. I just tried to block that out. So anyways, Adachi and Shimamura, It's about two girls who, I guess, skip class all the time and just hang out with each other. And they're going to fall in love. And that's the show. And I thought it was pretty cute, but I did need more story-wise.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was cute and, like, there was good, like, bits in it, but it didn't, like, really deliver.
Yeah, I thought it was a little cute. Trying to temper my reaction is highly informed by what I've heard about the finale of the season, which has already come out by the time we're recording this. Okay. And apparently the source material, because there's confusing. There's a light novel and then there was a manga and there's another manga. And I don't know if this anime is an adaptation of the original light novel, the first manga or the second manga. But apparently in the original story, it goes farther than the anime season did. And the anime season ends at a point where they are just friends. What? So that's a big bummer of a cloud looming over the show to me, because even if they are like the best friends, I don't know if it ends on a note of like gals just being pals,
that's a bummer,
removes a lot of the charm.
I've seen a lot of people say you should just read the manga instead, or the light novel, because it's just like it's better at its job. But a lot of people also say, because there's a lot of, which I agree with, over sexualization of the girls. Even in this first episode, I was like, this is a lot. We can tone it down.
What kind of things? Because I didn't notice that too much. But you mean like lingering shots or?
Well, like when they were underneath the ping pong table, they were like, they kept doing like side views of how like short their skirts were. And like they were like bent over and their faces were blushing. And I was like, a lot of this is unnecessary.
There was one moment where like after, I guess, playing ping pong for a while, one of them was just like covered in sweat or like was wet. And I was like, how? Just from ping pong? Like,
hey, ping pong gets intense. I get it.
But it did feel like a moment just to like make their clothes wet.
Yeah. It was like, I had more of a problem with like how often they would do shots of them sitting on the ground with like their skirts like barely covering anything. And I was like, ugh, like I'm glad things are covered, but oh my, this feels unnecessary. This feels very purposeful.
Yeah, I especially like, I don't have much context or knowledge about Yuri as a genre. This is definitely a Yuri show, but I just don't, like, I know in the yaoi space, in the BL space, there is a contention between, like, queer men who feel like yaoi and BL objectifies them, and the primarily female audience that consumes the content who is a little bit removed from it, and I assume there's a similar contention in the Yuri space, because it does seem like this content is made by, well, I think a decent number of Yuri creators are women. So it's like, if this is created by and for women, especially for queer women, but then it's also very male gazy and like is there a big market in the Yuri audience for straight men? Like, yes. How there's a big...
Have you seen Citrus?
I have not, because I heard negative things about it.
Don't look.
Well, I just don't, like... Because when you're talking, like, the gaze of the camera in the show, I'm like, if that is for... Like, if it's about girls sexualizing other girls, I'm like, okay, that's not too bad. But if it's, like, all to package and sell this to straight men, then I'm like, oh, that's gross. I don't want that. And I don't know how gross out or not to be by it.
Yeah. It just felt not appropriate to me.
Yeah.
For the situation. Because like if it was like they're trying to show them like maybe like being aware of each other, they should have just had them like a little too close together and like their arms touch or something. Like that's like a mild form, instead of showing them like bent over, skirts hiked up. Like,
yeah.
Stop hurting me. I just want good content.
I mean, I'm just grossed out by like just the concept of schoolgirls wearing such short skirts in general.
Yeah. So. It's uncomfy. Wear longer skirts. Sorry, gals.
The thing I find most weird about this show is that like from episode one, it's like there's no conceptual hook to the show aside from two girls hanging out, except it does seem like there is a hook that we barely got in episode one, which is that like random little girl in a spacesuit that I
don't understand that. But you know what else I also forgot is to mention the big boob girl that they kept groping.
Oh, yeah, that was...
It was very uncomfy.
So like as a queer woman, does any of that like...
Well, some of it is also like cultural differences.
Well,
it's like it is more common not here to do that, but not maybe it? Not in the streets. Yeah, it is. I've had to have that discussion with people.
Okay, because I feel like I've mainly seen that in anime, where it always feels like it's for the male gaze of like, what if these girls just touch each other's boobs and compare boob sizes? Isn't it great when girls do this? And I'm like, is this a thing that girls actually do, or is this a thing that men hope the girls do?
No, it's a thing, because I asked, and I was like, is that like a real thing? And they're like, yes, it is, but not usually like in public for everyone to see. But if it's like just gals being gals, grope each other, it's fine. But it's like a lot of it, it's just not appealing having them in like those compromising positions, and also like they're literal children, so it's also extra uncomfy. But like, again, like it could be more subtle and that would feel more genuine. This just felt, I don't know what this was.
I appreciated the family series, from what I've heard, also gets into more about their like issues and troubles. And what I've also heard is that like, instead of shipping them together, people are just like, they should just get therapy. And I don't know. It was kind of nice seeing. I thought you, Shimamura, reminded me a lot of you in some ways.
What did I do?
Well, she was judging. What was she doing? She was judging one of her friends for like, she's never dyed her hair. She's never skipped class. She's never pulled hair of another girl from another school. And I'm like,
that's true. Those are all things I have done.
Well, I just imagine like when she was judging someone for not doing those things.
Yeah, live a little. Get in a fight.
I also appreciate how. Oh, nope. We cannot talk about the show anymore.
We can't talk about it anymore. We're moving on.
I was going to say that it's called Adachi Shimamura, but the character list that I found is Shimamura and then Adachi.
Nope,
why does Adachi get to go first?
Anyways, okay. So Sleepy Princess and the Demon Castle. Start the timer.
27% of the episode. Let's go. This is a series about, I did not realize it would be quite so literally, like I'd seen the title a lot and I didn't realize it was literally going to be, hey, what if there's a sleepy princess in a demon castle? That's the show. She gets kidnapped and is stuck in the castle and she just wants to sleep because there's too many rowdy monsters and she just wants to get some sleep. And so she goes through elaborate hijinks. The world of this show reminded me a lot of, it felt like a kind of parody of the JRPG worlds that things like Dragon Quest have set up. So it was interesting to see them back to back, but it's definitely a parody of that. And there are all these monsters and stuff that some of them she befriends, some of them she just murders and does wacky hijinks to get things like a better pillow, better sheets, a coffin to sleep in, stuff like that. It is cute and funny, but also maybe too cute. I understand it, like throughout this episode, I could just hear your voice in the back of my head saying Moe garbage over and over again.
Yeah, that was me watching this whole thing. Because I've also already read some of the manga and hated it there. And now I hate it in animation form.
I'm just disappointed we didn't get to your favorite character from the manga.
She's a while in.
I think she has premiered in the anime at this point because I did see people on Twitter reacting to her name. And of course, we're talking about the succubus known as Bussy.
No. Did they really go with that name in the subtitles?
I am not sure. What I saw was someone linking to like a character page on a fan wiki. So I didn't actually see the anime. So maybe they haven't premiered yet. But do you think Bussy goes to Del Taco for poppers?
Also, it's supposed to be Bussy because of succubus.
Succubus. Bussy. Okay, let's not spend all of our time talking about how to pronounce Bussy.
This is going to make this a rated extra R podcast if we keep talking about it. But I'm leaving this show too. I hate it.
It was more funny than I expected. I think I went into it. The thing that was intriguing about the show was that it's from the same director as Nozaki-kun. But I wasn't sure what the source material, if it was even fair to compare them. And I don't know, this was funny, but it's not like anywhere near universal as Nozaki-kun felt. Like, this is definitely like off. I could see this being off-putting for any number of reasons.
I agree. It does have its moments that I think are funny. Like when she was about to kill those little bears. She wanted a comforter and then she ends up just like brushing them instead. And I was like, well, we didn't need to go that far, but okay.
A lot of the humor did work on me. The fact that she just keeps breaking out of her cell because she befriends those bears and just gets the keys over and over again. But that also leads to the moment that I found the most frustrating from the Moe garbage angle, which is that the Demon King himself keeps being like, which I thought we were going to take a while to meet the Demon King, but no, he's in the first episode and he keeps hearing about her breaking out and he's like, I'm going to go, I don't know what he's going to go have a word with her about it, and instead just sees her sleeping and then he's like, she's so cute. Oh my God, I can't say anything to her. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Well, like I guess it's I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that the characters in universe acknowledge, like even in universe, they are affected by the Moe. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but
for me, it's bad, but it's whatever. I hate this. I do hate it. Some of the demons are kind of funny.
I do find it delightfully absurd just how like there's just demons of every different type. Like as soon as she needs scissors, there is a demon made of scissors that comes by.
Yeah, I did laugh at that. Actually, she's like, I need scissors. And his whole, like all the scissors were falling off his arm. And I was like, ugh.
And then she's going around with a giant pair of scissors. And I was confused for a moment when she murders that one like demon that becomes her sheets, because I was like, I guess I saw her murder him and was like, surely this is a dream sequence and not what she's actually doing. But no, that was actually her murdering him.
Yeah, and then she dies.
Oh yeah, but then like the priest revives her.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, don't fall into magma again. She's like, oh, okay.
That's how she finds her coffin that I guess is her
new bed.
What I'm most confused by the end of this episode is like, it did not to me feel like a typical, in a lot of ways this anime reminded me of single gag comedy anime where they just have a single joke and repeat it over and over again, but
yes.
It does seem like there was a surprising amount of progression in this episode. Like it wasn't like doing the same thing over and over again, because she was accumulating different things and like she basically was going through RPG quests in terms of like getting this thing and then building on that thing from this other thing. And like, so by the end of episode one, she has all the things she needs for like a comfortable bed. So I'm kind of like, is this joke going to keep repeating or is it going to be different things? I don't know.
No, it's the same joke for the whole show.
Well, I am intrigued to see how that works, because from what I've seen, I don't quite see how this joke repeats.
Well, they do it. I mean, there is like an overarching story that like kind of pops up sometimes, like getting closer to like the Demon King and like the other guy trying to come save her.
There's no romance between her and the Demon King, is there?
I don't think I got far enough to know that. I don't want to consume any more of this. But as far as I knew in the manga, it was just like her forming relationships with like all the demons and like being friends with them and like getting more comfortable places to sleep. And that's the whole thing.
I guess I'll have to see how that works out, because to me, I'm like, well, if she gets a new place to sleep, then that like completely changes, because she seems to be able to sleep, so then she keeps being able to not able to sleep again.
Yeah, she just keeps getting uncomfortable, and so she has to keep changing where she's sleeping.
On the one hand, this show is tasteless mode garbage. On the other hand, it's very relatable 2020 content.
Yeah, we're all the sleepy princess trapped in the demon castle of this year. I do want to go back to bed.
I almost thought you were going to say you want to go back to watching the show.
No, I know it's the middle of the day, but I do want to go back to sleep.
Same. I don't know. It was intriguing.
It could have been worse.
If I were locked in a demon castle and forced to watch more, I would not be sleepy.
Yeah, this could have been worse. This could have been Dragon Quest.
I'm sick of you, and we have 10 more seconds to talk about the show.
Weaved it.
Well, by the nature of this format, we have to weave everything. It. But yes. I want to triple love Dragon Quest.
Oh, nope, you can't talk anymore.
Okay. Well, Annie.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Leave a review on.
You always forget recommendations.
I'm trying to do that on purpose.
Well, Annie, you've disappointed me enough already. Can you disappoint me anymore with your non-anime recommendation this week?
How about you go first?
So, yes. okay, I will recommend, I've been getting back into Final Fantasy 14 lately, and I initially bounced off of it because I finished the A Realm Reborn storyline back in 2015, and the experience of the last dungeon was so terrible because I like missed half of the cutscenes and half the battles because I messed up something and like was watching the cutscenes and everyone kept going without watching the cutscenes, and it was terrible, and it was such a terrible experience, and I thought the end of the story was like so garbage, mainly because I missed all the cutscenes, but so I like took a break and then never got back to it, even though I'd heard such great things about the later story. So I finally got back into the game and got back to that point again. And having actually watched the cutscenes for real this time, it's pretty good. And I'm enjoying it, and I'm excited to get to more. And I guess if I were for people who have no interest in Final Fantasy or MMOs, I keep hearing people who also have no interest in MMOs check out this game and get into it and end up saying it's like one of their favorite games and favorite experiences of whatever year they played it. And yeah, it's fun. It's good. Final Fantasy 14.
Sure.
Annie.
Fuck. I mean,
time's up.
Oh no. I don't know what to say. I got a McFlurry.
I'm gonna recommend a McFlurry.
Why can't I recommend a McFlurry? It's not anime.
You met the criteria.
I like McFlurries. Please eat one. Or, better yet, bring me one.
Eat or drink?
Eat. You don't drink a McFlurry. They give you a spoon.
You know they're going to give you a straw?
What? No, it's ice cream.
I thought it was a milkshake.
Have you... Jeff, have you never had a McFlurry?
What does the Mc stand for if not for milkshake?
What's happening? Have you never had a McFlurry before?
I don't know,
I'm glad I brought this up so we can address the wrongs the way you've been living your life.
I thought there was a milkshake.
No, it's not a milkshake. Anyways, get a McFlurry and then tell Jeff that he's a fool for thinking it's a milkshake.
Oh boy.
It's ice cream.
Send us your feedback at loveitorweebit on Twitter or loveitorweebit@gmail.com and let us know how angry you are that Annie trashed on Dragon Quest because she has no taste.
Now I feel like I'm being gaslit. It's not a milkshake.
Let me look up the Wikipedia article for McFlurry.
It's ice cream. Well, it's soft serve ice cream mixed with some other goodie of your choice, of your choosing.
The McFlurry is a brand of flavored milkshake ice cream distributed by the international fast food restaurant chain McDonald's. It was first introduced in 1997, although it was briefly banned because there was a contentious war over whether it was a milkshake or ice cream.
You're making that part up.
I mean, I did insert milkshake into the first sentence, so yes, it's ice cream.
Wait, there's no milkshake in it at all.
It's ice cream, fine.
Thank you. Ooh, glad we settled that. Nobody has to tweet at us anymore.
Well, if you want to continue tweeting at Annie to gaslight her in other areas.
Please don't do that. I'm very susceptible.
Well, if you take the gaslight and you hold it up to the McFlurry, then it melts and becomes a milkshake. Anyway, I'm at Definitely Jeff on Twitter.
I'm at any other name.
And join us next time for our full review on Great Pretender.
Oh my god, I have to watch that.
Yeah, we have 2 days to watch a whole show.
Bye!
I keep trying to remind you, bye! Bye! And as we always say, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warmer, so you might as well anime. Okay, I need a better tone because that was boring.
Please stop testing this out during the podcast.
Okay. And as we always say, the ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warmer, so you might as well anime.
Ew.
And the new thing that I discovered is that if I get my lyrics from genius.com, I can see the commentary associated with each set of lyrics. And I love this. First off, someone says that this is tying into the global warming sense. The world's getting warmer. Wow, isn't that deep? But also, someone else chimes in that the water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. Maybe a joke about swimming pools, where if someone urinates in the pool, there's no point getting out now. You're already covered.
Stop. Why are we reading this?
I never thought about how it was talking about urinating in a swimming pool, but you never, you know. All right. So there's so many layers. There's so much depth to the song.
I'm hanging up.
I can't believe.
Are you still upset about
what this? What did I do to you?
Have a bad show.
You're just threatened because he's better gone in every way.
He's a more boring god.
He's gone, but better in every single possible way.
No.
You're disgusting.
Wow, this name for this file I made was really ugly, but here you go anyway. Ow, I just broke a nail.
That's what die haters get.